overwhelmingly white male in the 20s or 30s. The types of weapons they use are very similar, semi-automatic handguns and AR-15 semi-automatic rifles. So, you know, we can see these kinds of things about this crime, and yet there is really no way to profile for this and to predict when it's going to happen. So I think, you know, the people I've been talking to in public health and in law enforcement are increasingly in agreement that this really is putting more pressure on the community to help watch for this problem and help intervene and try to deal with the people that are carrying
and legislation?
Out these kinds of attacks. Legislation is another question, right? I mean, we know the gun politics in this country are extremely intense, extremely polarized. It boggles the mind that this can keep happening over and over, and the conversation about gun control or gun regulations doesn't really seem to change. We hear the same arguments from both sides, and particularly from the Second Amendment people who are, you know, won't have any thought of changing the regulatory system, which we know is flawed at best, to put it charitably.
Mark Fullman, we'll have to leave it there. We thank you for being with us. National Affairs Editor at Mother Jones runs Mother Jones coverage of gun violence, including their mass shootings database, which we will link to. And that does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkopani, Masood Ravi Karen, Dina Guzder, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Attention, KABU members. You are invited to give your feedback on KABU's draft mission and vision statements. Based on member feedback from the recent survey and member retreat, KABU board and staff members created draft mission and vision statements. Now we want to know what you think. This is your chance to help define KABU's guiding principles and priorities. Visit KABU.fm to review the draft mission and vision statements and submit your comments. Paper copies of the draft statements are also available at the station. Comments are due July 17th. If you have questions, please contact Monica Beamer at monica@kabu.org. Thank you for contributing to the development of KABU's mission and vision statements and for your support of community radio.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock.
KABU is a proud sponsor of the 35th Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July 17th, 18th, and 19th. The festival is free and family friendly and runs from 5 to 10 p.m. Friday, noon to 10 p.m. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday. The festival is sponsored by the Jazz Society of Oregon, a nonprofit arts organization. This year, we'll have performances from Haley Newsringer, Robert Moore Orchestra, Paul Creighton Project, a tribute to Stevie Wonder, Alan Jones Academy of Music, Kung Pao Chickens, Portland Youth Jazz Orchestra, LaRonda Steele, the Guitar Masters Finale with Lloyd Jones, Norman Sylvester, Michael Osborne, Jerry Burkholder, and Ben Rice. This is going to be under the St. John's Bridge on the east side of the Willamette River. We'll be broadcasting live from KABU 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM, all day Saturday. Tune in.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are tuned to your community radio station, KBOO. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani along with
Lynn.
And here we are together again. We wanted to look this morning at a panoply of current events.
A veritable panoply.
Indeed. A plethora of interesting things are going on. And the thing about it is how much critical thinking skills are applied at this time
and how
in our history and society.
It is more important than ever to have critical thinking skills because we are completely bombarded by information. So much of it, shall we say, skewed.
Skewed. Sure, we could say that. We know that corporate-owned press, mainstream news, really, most especially, as exemplified by Fox, is not necessarily there to inform. They are there to sell advertising. And really, sort of part and parcel to that is to serve their corporate masters.
They're there to sell hate.
Well, when it comes to Fox, it's pretty clear that they have a fairly obvious, one might say blatant, political agenda in furthering alienation, distrust, targeting already marginalized groups for further abuse, and let's just say shifting the country to the right. Let's just say that. You can see that in terms of the pundits they choose, and certainly in the way they run their headlines.
And they have the whole Goebbels propaganda thing down beautifully because, you know, he always said if you repeated something seven times, that was it. It was in people's heads, and because they have a point that they go with all day long.
Right. And it's sort of the big lie theory and how they live it. So this is what we want to look at today in terms of the things that have really caught our attention this week and how we very much need to apply critical thinking to them because, let's face facts, these are matters of life and death at times. The Sandra Bland quote.
If your name is Sandra Bland, they sure are.
Then Sandra Bland, the latest victim of police violence, killed in her jail cell Monday morning. I'm going to go ahead and say killed because it's really apparent, right? For those that don't know, Sandra Bland was a woman who was picked up.
She was very active.
Pulled over because
she was an activist.
Well, yeah, but I'm. She was pulled over on Friday for improper signaling of a lane change, otherwise known as about the lightest thing you can be pulled
driving
over
black.
For.
She was driving black.
That's what she was pulled over for. Let's face facts. She was hauled out of her car, thrown to the ground.
Repeatedly.
Head bashed into the ground, arm twisted behind her back, and somehow or another ended up hung in her jail cell.
After she tried to post bail.
Yes, and her friends were on the way to post bail at that time. It smacks of, let's just say, murder.
It smacks of Texas to me, but...
But Texas, but Waller County, the cops are saying, no, suicide. Obviously, suicide. There's so many more. I mean, this is a really disturbing story. And as Lynn was saying, Sandra Bland was very active as an organizer, as an activist, and speaking out against police violence. So there you go.
With also, Black Lives Matter, how obvious her death is.
Yes.
For the point that is being made there, yeah.
So we also have, of course, yesterday, the Chattanooga shooting in which four Marines were killed. I had to go to Fox and actually see what they were saying about it. And to say that they were pumping it full, about as full as possible, about Islamophobia and being afraid of the Muslim next door. It was disgusting. In a word, disgusting. The reports on Fox actually go so far as to talk about, you know, in social media, if you have friends that are posting extremist thoughts or radical thoughts, thoughts that seem like they may turn into something dangerous, turn them in. Okay. That's kind of chilling. That's kind of looking a whole lot like McCarthy. Well, it looks a whole lot like Dick Cheney with the TIPS program from the early aughts. You know, neighbors, turn each other in. You know, we got low budgets here. Just do it yourselves. Turn each other in. Is that really the way to go? Is that the response after a mall shooting? You
is
know,
that
a mass
critical
shooting?
Thinking?
Indeed, no. One would say no. And part and parcel with that is sort of the concurrent stories about how guns are the only thing that can save us from guns. Guns. We need more of them. More guns to answer gun violence. Where's the critical thinking in that? I just want to know. Then there are stories about the coming quake that are becoming more prevalent. There's a video that I would deem just about viral amongst groups that I interact with on the interwebs.
I had not heard of that one. Where have I been?
Yeah, well, not hanging out in the same page as I have,
apparently. So.
Now, for those that may or may not know, Teresa of Press Watch is my beloved partner, and she has been talking about the coming quake for a long time, possibly since I met her 21 years ago.
Teresa, otherwise known as Cassandra.
Indeed. And it's true. We are in a subduction zone.
Yeah.
We are about 300 years overdue for a giant quake. And if you look back in our geological record, you can see that they've happened. No pounding on the table, says Lynn. Okay, I'll stop that. You can see that they have happened with regularity. But to know that we're overdue for a quake and that it will be big, what do we do with that knowledge, right? How is that helpful? Well, if we apply critical thinking skills, we have a couple of choices. We can prepare ourselves for a disaster in whatever ways we can, you know, do the dry goods, figure out what we're going to do for heat, what we're going to do for potable water, how to get through no infrastructure, yada, yada, yada. We can also be on guard against the shock doctrine disaster capitalism that we are sure will follow in terms of the quake. And then we can pretty much shut up about it, near as I can figure, because all the fretting in the world, it's not going to matter. Your other option is to leave the area and subject yourself to, you know, whatever natural disasters may await you in the rest of the world. Because really, the Earth is a changing organism, right? It's we get quakes sometimes. So I'm not saying it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. People should be prepared. People should look at trying to live through the collapse of industrial civilization for any of a number of reasons. The quake, global climate change, what have you. And be on the lookout for disaster capitalism and the shock doctrine sort of things that that we've heard about from Naomi Klein. These are things that we can actually proactively do. But to sit around and go, oh my God, I'm so afraid. Oh my God, I'm so freaked out. There's a quake. We're going to have a quake any minute now. Yeah, it could happen like before the end of the show, or it could happen in another 300 years.
Well,
there's no saying.
That's the Fox doctrine of news, to have people running around in circles and confused.
Because to the best of my knowledge,
and
when people...
very, very, very scared.
Right. When people are very, very, very scared and very confused and running around in circles, they're way more likely to want things like the shock doctrine. Hey, big brother, come in and protect us.
Or go shoot a bunch of people.
Well, there's that too. You know, there are many ways, I guess, people deal with these stresses. Anyway... dear listener, we are asking for your opinions. Are there other stories that have come to your radar that we are not looking at, that have been trounced in the press, that have been twisted, that are actually being reported in ways that promote fear, promote alienation, promote bigotry, promote xenophobia, rather than actually inform us and give us tools to make our world a better place? I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to. What are we getting as a nation from corporate-owned press, from Fox News, from the mainstream media? Because to me, it looks like a giant step towards alienation and fear. And also, because again, a fearful people are more easily controlled.
Yes. And
that's
the number to call this morning is 503-231-8187. You can also comment on our email page at positivelyrevolting.com, or we are Positively Revolting on Facebook. Gmail.com.
I was going to say, we don't have our own webpage.
No, we don't. No, no. Sorry about that.
Our domain in the future.
PositivelyRevolting@gmail.com and Positively Revolting on the Book of Face.
Or in the Twitterverse, you can find us at Positive Revolt. So, all of these things said. Oh, the other story. How could I forget the other story? That is, according to Fox News, and again, got to say, well, there's the facts and there's Fox News and how they frame them. 15-year-olds in Oregon can run out right now and get a surgery for gender reassignment paid for by the state and without their parents not knowing a damn thing about it. What are we going to do, people? The state is encouraging kids to go out and change genders. I don't even know where to start with that. I actually do.
I was going to say, I'll bet you do.
I spent actually the better part of this week, how do we say, engaging in dialogue around that very bizarre headline that Fox put out. So, and unpacking that, what does that actually mean? And why is it a good thing? Because it is. So there we have it. 503-231-8187. Let's go ahead and hear from you so that, you know, we can get your opinions on as well. I'm totally interested in stories that we may have missed while focusing on these. Because as Lynn said early on, there's a whole lot going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A bit overwhelming, really.
Well,
according to... it's interesting, when I was looking at mass shootings.
Which, by the way, Mother Jones put out, this is what we've got. We've got it now. Guide to Mass Shootings.
Right.
They have a... yes, they do. They have the Guide to Mass Shootings. But it puts some perspective on what are the most considered newsworthy mass shootings, and also gives you perspective about how many are happening all the time.
Well, and it depends, I think, a lot on how mass shootings are defined.
Right. And that's the other thing it talks about.
Because Mother Jones's estimation, and I guess really looking at what they're considering the most newsworthy, is far lower than the one that has been put out by USA Today. USA Today is defining mass killings as any time four or more people are killed by a single, how do you say, murderer. And they're coming up with a far greater number. Since 2006, according to the USA Today, there have been 200 mass killings, averaging about every other week.
And this was data they compiled over three decades, from 1982 to 2000.
That's the Mother Jones.
Yeah.
I was talking about the USA Today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll just, yeah, I'm just saying, because the numbers are so different. Yeah. I wanted to actually, and this is part of critical thinking, is to look at their methodology.
Right.
So USA examined FBI data. Which defines mass killings as four or more victims, as well as local police records and media reports. They happen far more often than the government reports, says this article. And again, according to the USA Today article, about every 2 weeks is how often what they define as mass killings happen. Whereas Mother Jones, go ahead, Lynn, over to you.
Mother Jones, it was more than, what, four? I can't remember. I was reading this other part of the, sorry. The horrific mass murder in a theater in Colorado is one, a Sikh. They're talking about 100. I love the way the Mother Jones article categorizes things like weapons. Of 143 guns possessed by the killers, more than three quarters were obtained legally.
Well, let's talk about the numbers, though, because I think it's important to actually be aware. Mm-hmm. So the USA Today article is finding 200 in the last 9 years. Whereas the Mother Jones database is showing 70 in the last 30 years. It's a vastly different number.
I would say yes.
So I am not sure. I mean, we just heard from the person who's compiling the database on Democracy Now!, but I don't know what criterion they are using for their numbers. It's one of those things. Now, one could say the USA Today article may be including things that are not traditionally thought of as those mass shootings, because those are usually stranger killings, right? It's somebody going into, and let's go ahead and say it, it's a man, 99.9% of the time. If you can think of a woman mass shooter, go ahead and call. I'd love to hear it. Going into a place and opening fire on people they don't know.
Right.
Or maybe they're old classmates.
Well, more than, according to the Mother Jones article, more than half of the cases involve school or workplace shootings, 12 right. and 20 respectively, and the other 30 cases took place in locations including shopping malls, restaurants, religious and government buildings.
Right. Whereas in the USA Today database, if four or more people were wiped out by the same person.
There was one that was a woman.
Oh, check.
In Goleta, California, 2006.
There we go.
The rest of them, 44 of the killers were white males. Average age, 35.
What I was saying about the U.S.
An 11-year-old. Mm.
The USA Today article is that they are also including things like domestic violence, where somebody kills their entire family because that's more than four people killed by one.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is actually what is causing the disparate numbers, because once you start getting into domestic violence, well, that's pretty common, and that's horrible, and a whole nother topic. So, what do you say, dear listeners? What do you say?
Is it different if you know the people?
Let's go ahead and let's talk to LJ. LJ, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, LJ.
Good to see you back, Anya. I hope you're feeling better.
I am. Thank you, sir.
And you can see her? LJ, you can see her?
What?
I'm sorry. I mean, you can see her?
It's a good radio.
Lynn.
Yeah, what?
And Anya.
Yes, thank
I have
you.
A rotary phone. I can see,
all
I
right.
can see anything.
All right, all right.
That's awesome.
But here's the Anya.
Yeah.
And Lynn, first of all, I just want to throw this into the mix. A big shout out to the USA women's football team for winning the cup.
Did they?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about compensation. The women's soccer team, the women's football team, USA, got a pittance of monetary compensation compared to the losing men's team at the last cup.
Yeah.
Now, I heard this on ESPN, and the commentator was asked about why female athletes are not compensated nearly as much as, quote, men athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I quote, women professional athletes are not as valuable as men in terms of endorsements, advertising,
right.
Generating advertising dollars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess at his answer.
Right,
because
right.
men's sports are taken seriously and reported to hell and gone, women's sports are marginalized.
Right, though I don't think they understand what sort of revenue they could get from having women endorse things. But... So is this going to go around to critical thinking?
Well, that is.
Yes, this needs to go around to critical thinking, because what makes men athletes more valuable than women?
Exactly. And how is it that, you know, it's really just part of the bigger picture that women's sports are marginalized, like women's voices are marginalized. You know, uh-huh. There are sports, there's football, there's basketball, and then there's women's basketball. We don't say men's basketball usually. We say basketball, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it sort of underscores the marginalization of women's place in this society.
And that translates into all of us who are marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's just a symptom of the disease. Mm-hmm. Afro-Americans are marginalized. Latinos are marginalized.
Yeah.
Transgender people are
yeah.
are marginalized. Very, very good on the U.S. military for finally allowing transgendered folks in positions of so-called power in the military chain of command. Mm-hmm. Yada, 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 yada.
Well, thank you very much, LJ. I think that's an excellent point.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for the show. Let's really realize that all of us are disenfranchised, all right? And we really need to think in terms, Ani, of taking back what belongs to us by any means necessary. You guys have a great day, and it was great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Taking back what belongs to us. I wonder, to me, that is, I think, important, but what does belong to us? Looking at the commons and making sure they're not they are continually sold off for private gain. When we look at public lands, things like that, that's one of the first things that occurs to me.
And you know, what I find interesting about what LJ was talking about as far as this commentator saying that men are more valuable because they sell more things. That is, the other part of that is bad market research, because it's assuming that women have no buying power. Now, that being said, I mean, you know, that's not what we're longing for as far as power goes, but people are, young girls are crazy about that soccer team. They're mm-hmm. It's wonderful, and it could be hugely marketed, except it's a lot of that is still attitude. There's no that is very bad market research on their part. Also, that's just
really, I mean, just basic. But again, you think it's market research, or do you think it's the fact that it's more important to marginalize women's role than it is to actually turn a buck?
I don't know. That could be.
It might be one of the very few things that might be considered more important than turning a buck. Continue to marginalize women.
I hadn't thought of that, but I like that. Well, I don't like it, but I...
But ponder it well. Yes. Run it through your critical thinking pachinko machine in your mind and see how that comes. All right. So let's go ahead and talk to George. If you want to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we're talking to you about current events and your how critical thinking must be applied in the analysis of current events, lest we run down the Fox News rabbit hole. Not good. Bizarro land. And good morning, George. Let's try again. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Ani and Lynn. A great topic today.
Thank you. And what do you have to add to it?
And I recall reading parts of a book a few years ago by a guy named Alfie Cohn. The title is No Contest, The Case Against Competition.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about ecofeminism and the recent resignation from pro football of a guy who said he was quitting because he didn't want his brain to be destroyed or damaged seriously. And then he made this remark. He said, "We have a culture of toughness." And I thought, later, I mean, this morning especially, after I heard your topic, I thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a culture of adversarial, competitive toughness. It celebrates the worst aspects of macho, and it supplies guns to people, and then it doesn't supply jobs. And I think
it's rather the perfect storm, really.
It does. And I think jobs is just a small part of the picture, maybe, but the entire ecofeminist perspective is the bigger leverage, I think, looking at it. If we want to really nurture our Earth and each other, I think we have to rethink so much. And Alfie Cohn's book, No Contest, is part of it. And I think an immediate topic, and it's only one, and you guys are bringing up other topics, and I constantly hear other topics of central importance, but I think I don't hear from our Congress anything about creating jobs. And I'm not talking about a few hundred here or there. I think we probably need 30 or 40 million family wage jobs. So I'd just like to see a culture of toughness is the wrong thing. We need to nurture. And I'm wondering just how we could do this, how we can get people talking about nurturing our Mother Earth and all our people. And I think jobs is just part of it, but I'd like to just put that into the mix.
That's a wonderful thing to put into the mix this morning. I love that book. I read it when it came, well, not right when it came out, but I read it many years ago.
Wow.
And I think that there's some, a friend of mine at the time said, you know, competition ensures failure, while cooperation breeds success.
Wow, that comes right out of that idea.
And that has struck, that struck home with me then, and it still is something that resonates. It's something I think about actually, maybe daily. And you're absolutely right. That culture of toughness is poisonous. It breeds alienation. It breeds fear, and it breeds sort of that rugged, the myth of the rugged individual, which is very much a myth. No one makes it on their own.
Yep.
Not in a society, right? Because we are interwoven.
You are so right.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. Really good food for thought.
Hey, thank you so much.
And, take care, George.
And, you know, I like to think of things in terms of meaningful work instead of the word jobs.
Yeah.
Because part of the culture of violence that we're in is that people have to spend 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day loathing where they are and what they're doing in order to feed themselves and not so much have health insurance anymore, but to spend, that is incredibly violent. That is really horrible. And
soul-crushing capitalism, we
yes,
call that.
Yes, yes. So meaning, instead of jobs, I like to say meaningful work. That is, you know, should be a human right.
Yes.
And would contribute to what kind of an amazing society would have people doing meaningful work. Imagine that.
A good society. And for some reason, I'm just going to throw it out there. That part of the discussion is reminding me of a book that was written in the 70s, late 70s, I think, perhaps early 80s. Marge Piercy's Women on the Edge of Time.
Oh, one of my favorite books on the planet.
Yep, yep, it's a good one. And again, it's been 30 years since I read this book. But one of the hallmarks of the sort of utopian land was that that people went into their occupations based on their passions. And that if there was a job that really no one wanted to do, there was like a turn-taking. If they couldn't figure out a technological fix to have a non-thinking, a non-sentient, you know, being, a computer or a robot or whatever, do this thing, that they would have instead taking turns, a cooperative sort of attitude around, well, it just needs to get done. We'll just, you know, no one's forced to do that forever.
And I loved one of the, because this is 300 years in the future or 20 years ago or whatever. And the two things they really liked from the late 20th century they kept were dishwashers. And I can't remember what else, but they really thought dishwashers were very important because they didn't have a lot of electricity and they had to farm that out. But yes, there was meaningful employment meant something. Meaningful lives meant something to people.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just some people, I mean, I do believe that we are all different enough that some people love to do what other people hate to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had an old housemate of mine, wonderful guy, said one of his favorite jobs ever was being a garbage man. He liked being a garbage hauler. It was just something that was sort of simple. You didn't take your work home with you. He got a physical workout. He was young. Helps.
Yeah.
You know, right? He was like 30. He was free by 2 o'clock because you start at, you know, dark 30 in the morning. And he thought it was great. Now, a lot of people are like, garbage hauler? Never. No.
Well, here at
please,
the station, when there's somebody cleaning the bathrooms, I remember going, thank you so much, because that's not, and they're like, oh, I love to do it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again,
which is lovely.
There are different dispositions amongst the people, right? So if we actually get to gravitate towards our passions and everyone is supported, that's huge. And if there are indeed, I'm not sure that there's a lot of people that are rushing forward to, like, you know, flip fast food burgers. Maybe fast food is a concept that needs to go away.
Ooh.
As a whole.
As a whole, yes.
Because I know a lot of people that get great satisfaction from being chefs or cooks or, you know, even line cooks, short order cooks. Mm-hmm. That's different than the pace that one is expected to keep up and the food quality and the repetition of the fast food chains. So it's a, I don't know, putting out there food for thought.
Ha ha.
As it were. 503-231-8187 is the number
to
call.
That is the number.
You can follow us on Facebook, where you can find us as Positively Revolting. On the Twitter sphere, you can find us at Positive Revolt. And, of course, you can email us positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. let's go ahead and talk to Frances. Good morning, Frances.
Hi. I like what your last caller had to say. I'm wondering what the Fox News, how they portrayed President Obama being the first sitting president ever to visit a prison.
You know, when I heard that he was...
Could you guess what that would be, Frances?
No. I could probably guess, but I don't know. I didn't hear.
So yeah. I have not heard either, but I'll bet.
I don't know how they can put a twist on it. What I appreciated was when he was getting ready to... Well, he sat down and talked to actual inmates and looked in the cells and did all that, you know. And
yeah.
As he was leaving, someone hollered a question at him, and he came back to the press. And he told them that there but for the grace of God go myself and you all.
Yeah.
Because of the mistakes these young people made, and they got caught.
However, he didn't really say grace of God. He said...
He did.
I thought he was, well, maybe he said at that point, what we, I was listening to Democracy Now! As we were driving in this morning, and he was just talking about, he was actually talking about privilege a little bit, which kind of shocked me.
And yeah, he talked about how they made mistakes, but a lot of us who are in different environments make the same mistakes and are allowed second chances and have people in supportive positions to help us make us get through those mistakes. And it's looked at just being a young person making a mistake.
Yep.
Rather than a criminal that needs to be locked up for 20 years.
Yeah. And I have to say...
Then he said, there but for the grace of God.
Okay, I guess I missed that
and
part.
He was very serious about it. One thing that I've noticed that I really appreciate what he's doing right now is that he's bringing it to what your last caller talked about. He's bringing it to where we need to sit down and talk. We need to look at things in a different way. There's a different way to deal with everything, including international conflict. And I truly appreciate that. And on the same front, the Pope is talking the same stuff. So it's kind of interesting to me. And I'm wondering when the Pope comes to speak to the Congress what he's going to have to say to those guys. It'd be interesting to see.
Well, I think
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's very little that Fox is saying about it. Actually, I'm on their website even as we speak. I had to go down about 4 pages to find a news clip on it. President Obama went to prison today is its headline. So that you know, does sort of leave one to ponder.
And probably not going to give it much because if they do, they're going to look ridiculous.
Exactly.
Well, they always look ridiculous. I don't think that.
But this is buried under pages. I'm just going to say it's buried under many, 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 many stories about what Donald Trump thinks about anything, and about how people tend to love Donald Trump. This is news to me.
I don't think he's real.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's incredible that he's getting so much play. And that's a whole nother thing to go over is Donald Trump's feeding the anti-immigration and xenophobic frenzy that is going on.
And somebody, I think, you know, the absurdity of the things that he says, is almost to the extreme to where I don't know that he's for real. I would like to believe that he's showing how absurd it really is, and at some point he's going to go, hey, I was just kidding. Look how
right.
But I don't know.
Well, that's
good hope. That.
It's a lovely thought, Frances.
But what I like is that the president is addressing criminal justice in a way that for the last 40 years I've been hoping somebody in the White House does, and he's at least that ice has been broken. And I appreciate that a whole lot.
Thank you very much for your call. I can't believe that this is the first time a president has visited a prison. I mean, that stunned me in and of itself. But more, you know, I have had serious issues with most of Obama's policies.
Am I here?
But I am thrilled that he visited a prison. And credit where credit's due. His comments on the incarceration issues, it's huge. Frances, you are still there.
Oh, I am still here. Yeah, I appreciate it, too. I've been concerned about some of the things that he has gone along with.
Yeah, the drone wars not ending, you know, Guantanamo.
That's probably the one.
Yeah.
But I also have seen how his hands have been tied a lot, too.
Well, for sure. But, you know, I do expect a little more gutsy leadership from a leader.
Time, he'll be able to do the things that he really wants to do.
Yeah.
Looks like that's what he's starting to do now.
It's pretty much all we can hope for at this moment. Yeah. But thank you very much.
Take care.
You too. And, yeah, again, credit where credit's due. Because that was historic, and again, I'm stunned that it's the first president that's visited a prison, considering how in love with throwing people into prisons this country is. I would imagine that presidents might have visited them before, but no, we just use them as the new plantation system and we move on. Let's go ahead and talk to Harvey. Good morning, Harvey. You're on the air. Harvey, good morning, Harvey. No?
Hi there.
Oh, there
Hi,
you
Harvey.
Are.
Hi. Yes, good morning. Well, I have positive news that, in a sense, is not being reported.
Cool.
And that on a planet-wide scale, there's a new expansion of consciousness happening right now. And what it is I saw it when I walked by a newsstand the other day, and I saw a picture on the New York Times of Pluto. And it showed, you know, a very clear picture of Pluto with the mountains and the valleys and so on and so forth. And I think that every time that we see a picture, a close-up picture of a new planet, that in a way our consciousness is expanded. That they're not just little dots in the sky. We're not just Earth-centric anymore. And we found out, for instance, that there's water on Jupiter. So now we know that it can be an oasis in space for us. It could be one of the jumping stones as we go intergalactic. And I think that, we're on Mars, we're on the moon, we have pictures, close-ups of Jupiter with the moons and Venus, and now Pluto, and we have Pluto. And so the thing is that I think all this is kind of consciousness expansion. We're not necessarily just going to look at each other in the same way. We're not just Earth beings. We're more turning into galactic beings. And this is a major change. Now, the next thing we need is anti-gravity, or a way to repulse gravity without using rocket ships. And once we have that, we can just go into space. We can start occupying. We can start space exploration.
Oh, Harvey. I have about three Harvey. Different things that, but yeah, okay.
That's good. However,
on the one hand, I personally love space exploration. I was born in the Star Trek, the original era, and the idea of going out there, like, you know, that has always long been a fantasy of mine. Yes, space, the final frontier. But my questions, I guess, shouldn't we actually
clean up our act here.
Yeah,
first?
Deal with the planet we have before we start trashing the rest of the galaxy.
I'd like to address that, yes. I think that with the population of 7 billion and growing, that in a sense we know that we're running out of resources, we got climate destabilization to deal with. There's a lot of problems here, and this is making us claustrophobic on the planet. And I think that by showing us pictures of Pluto and all the other planets and the possibilities and knowing that they have water on them, that what this is telling us is that we don't have to trash our planet anymore. We're birthing. It's like birds who are getting too big for the nest. It's fly or die. We're getting more and more claustrophobic every day, and they're talking about ocean rise, et cetera, et cetera. So the thing is that we have to have a way out, and I think that these pictures, like of the recent one of Pluto, opens up the door to a new consciousness, a new expansion of a new lessening of the claustrophobic feeling of being stuck here on Earth, and opening up new frontiers, and it's a breath of fresh air. And I think of it as a new consciousness.
Okay, well, right. Thank you very much, Harvey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. I guess I still feel like we have a debt to this planet to sort of deal with it first. And I get claustrophobia.
I like it here. I like this planet. I think it's beautiful.
But I probably like other planets, too. But I still think we owe it to this one to help
it reminds me of colonization, the practice of colonization, and that doesn't seem to have worked very well on Earth.
See, that's the thing.
So I
just
see
sort
how
of,
it will work in space. That's
there's this idea that we would go out into space and do the same thing again at a different planet and destroy another planet. And then after that, well, there's probably another one after that. That's my fear. And I'll just go ahead and reference Firefly. Okay. Go watch Firefly and think about that. Earth that was is how they refer to Terra. Yeah. Earth that was, cause it became too polluted. It became used up. So we had to move on and colonize space. That's exactly the premise. Also, I'm just going to refer people to the best novel I have read possibly in my life. I think this might be my new favorite book. Okay, Alice in Wonderland is actually my favorite book forever, ever.
What is this book?
But the second favorite book is called The Stone Gods, and it's by Jeanette Winterson, who is an amazing author. And if people have not read Jeanette Winterson, go now and get the Jeanette Winterson section of your favorite locally owned non-chain bookstore and or library. Jeanette Winterson is brilliant. The Stone Gods, it is a story of a repetitive pattern of trashing planets, let's just say.
I just wouldn't trust that we would do anything
trashing
else.
Planets and alienation.
Yeah.
Brilliant novel. Go read it, The Stone Gods. And then let me know what you think about it. You can do that by commenting on our Facebook page, where you can find us as Positively Revolting. You can email us.
We continue the conversation there.
PositivelyRevolting@gmail.com. There's also in the Twitterverse, you can find us at Positive Revolt.
Yes, you can. And
coming up
on KBOO this morning at 9, it's Veterans Voice with Marvin and Angie from Northwest Vets for Peace. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today, and we'll hear Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. He devotes the entire hour to the show's recent coverage on Greece. That's another very interesting topic, I must say. And at 11 on Radio Zine, educator Itocho Garcia, I know I'm mispronouncing this, and I apologize. Garcia discusses the role of oppositional relationships in learning, the importance of grade school children developing counter narratives to what they are presented in school, and critical thinking.
Critical thinking. I was going to say that. That's right. Critical thinking.
To move towards social justice. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support of your community radio station. If you're not a current member, easily solved. You can go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. And then you are a member. It's fun.
It is. You will feel empowered because you know that you are, in fact, helping your community radio station. And in helping your community radio station, you help your community. 503-231-8187. One of the things I've been concerned about is, and we've done programs about mandatory testing, et cetera, testing and teaching to the test rather than teaching to think, that I think it's not a stretch to actually say that the way that we are educating, and I'm using some scare quotes, our kids really does not emphasize critical thinking anymore. In fact, glosses right over it, and by rote memorization and reacting to what is there without processing it, is part of what's damaging us as a society.
A much more compliant society that way. You know, the thing about critical thinking is people can be disturbed. And I don't mean that as being a disturbed, mentally ill person, but that they might be dissatisfied with what's going on. They might not be quite so compliant.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, who shall we talk to next? Lynn, over to you.
Thanks. Annalisa. Annalisa.
Good morning, Annalisa. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. What do you have to add to the discussion this morning?
Well, I know we're past Donald Trump, but I kept trying, and it was busy, and I just wanted
to say, by all means, we're not past Donald Trump.
Unfortunately, we're not past Donald Trump. But
unfortunately. If people don't know, talk about lack of critical thinking. I could go on and on about that with Donald Trump, but there's a movie, a documentary about him building a golf course in Scotland and just raping this island with a protected environment. And he claimed it was an environmental golf course, which is an oxymoron in itself. So,
right.
And I'm not near a computer, but I was trying to remember the name of it. But if someone Googled Donald Trump documentary re Scotland golf course,
yeah,
and it's really well done.
I have seen that.
You have? Yeah.
It is brilliant, and it really does underscore so much of the arrogance that is Donald Trump.
He is an example of what one big giant blob of ego can be.
Exactly. You know, and I keep
you would think he'd buy better hair.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, my God.
No, that's part of the ego. That's part of his ego. There is nothing about him that isn't fabulous. And
right,
also,
but remember, to have that kind of destructive behavior. Look at the core. The core is so deeply wounded and messed up that you couldn't behave this way without being completely screwed up. And, you know, so he's covering up so much. The volcano underneath him is bigger than any earthquake or volcano we've seen.
That is possibly true. Thank you very much, Annalisa, for your call this morning.
Thank you.
And, it's a great documentary.
Also, I feel terrible. Have you seen the cat pictures with people take the fluff from their cats and put it on their heads like Donald Trump hair?
I haven't been spending a lot of time checking out cat pictures lately.
No, that's I feel it's a great insult to cats. I'm sorry.
All right.
But enough of the dog.
Yeah, let's go ahead. And we have about 7 minutes left. Let's take another caller. Barth. Let's go ahead and talk to Barth. Good morning, Barth.
Good morning, folks. Always fun to listen to your show. You've touched on a bunch of topics. I'll just skate across the top a little bit. Presidential prison visits. I think many presidents have been wary of going into prison.
That's what I was saying this morning when we were talking about this.
I'm sorry, you can finish your sentence, but I think we've already said it this morning before we were on the air. Go ahead.
Well, no, I think that's a reality that I would like to see crystallized.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Certainly some ex-presidents have things to answer for, and some of them
certainly
are, in fact, criminal behavior.
Yeah.
You were asked about or talked about meaningful jobs versus jobs. Well, Jeb Bush says we just all must work harder.
Yeah.
We're not living up to the productivity increases in other parts of the globe. So we just have to work harder.
Well, you know, he does 14-hour days playing golf and meeting with folks and having cocktails and things with them. So what's the matter with you people? Get with the program.
Really? I mean, I can afford it, can't you? your book, Women Out of Time. Who's the author to that?
Women on the Edge of Time.
Marge Piercy. It's an excellent, excellent book.
Okay, well, you said that was from the mid-70s.
Late 70s, I think.
That was 40 years ago and not 30.
I read it 30 years ago when I was starting college. It was already an older book.
Fair enough. Pluto, your caller that was waxing poetic about the potentiality of this and our stepping out into the universe. And okay, the idea has some merit, but this spacecraft traveled 9+ years in largely suspended animation to get into a large, well, relatively small ice ball and planetoid that's in the dark, crowded boundary layer of our solar system. And out beyond that, they were worried about it getting to that point in time without being destroyed by micrometeors and space dust at the speeds it was going. So
space
there's
dust.
Still some thinking about that, but I think Pluto is still interesting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it is. Well, and there's a whole band I don't want to call them planets or planetoids. There's a whole band of things out there on that edge of the solar system that Pluto is part of. If you're watching some of the science on this, it's really interesting.
Yes, there was a very nice NOVA program on that, and there's going to be more. On Donald Trump, he's clearly financially canny, and he's successful in a number of ways. But any sane person, well, no sane person, would call Donald Trump or anything like Donald Trump presidential material, period.
I think anything like Donald Trump, yes.
No, I mean,
except in the faux news world. That's
in which case they are pumping him.
Oh,
well, I mean.
It's so ridiculous because he's...
If it was only
self-toxic, but you know, what about the rest of the world? Those are my 2 cents. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
Happy Friday.
And happy Friday to you. There you have it. So we've been talking about critical thinking.
Well, and hopefully doing some critical thinking. Looking at news topics of the day. If we've got like 2 minutes left, so we really just kind of need to wrap things up, I think. Critical thinking, do it, people. We've given you a number of books.
Do it,
people. Just start. And I know I love our listeners because so many of them actually do think critically, and it is nice to have a discussion on the public airwaves about critical thinking and how important it is and what it is. You know, a lot of people have different opinions about what critical thinking is, and I hope we discussed some of that. Please keep on top of Sandra Bland.
I think it's super important that we continue to be active and, in fact, increase activity about the murderous behavior of cops. Cops kill people with impunity, even a year after we've had a whole lot of national attention on the fact that cops have killed a whole lot of people, especially black people. Let's be very clear. Yeah, sure. Some whites get killed. Sure. But proportionally, let's look at it. Blacks are targeted by the police. We know this. And killed in larger ratio.
And I think I have, you know, just from years of living on this planet, the suspicion that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
I don't want to be at all.
We will, in fact, focus on police murders once again. I wish we didn't have to, and a program coming up very, very soon. But at this point, continue to be aware, active, and seeing what is going on around us with critical thought. If we take headlines at their face value, it is, it does not suggest that we can better the world, right? If we take Fox News and corporate-owned press without adding the critical thought, then we become more and more alienated, more and more isolated, and easier to control. And that, I have to say, is the end goal of our corporate masters, right? They are the ones
compliance.
That put out that news. Listen to independent news sources, right? Community radio. Couldn't praise it enough. Check out the evening news at 5 o'clock. We have actually won awards for investigative journalism. Check out alternative press.
And it's easy to do, folks.
It is. It's a couple of clicks away. But make sure that you are doing your part to educate yourself and educate your community, because together we can get through this. Living in a world of alienation without critical thought, pretty much seals the tomb. Okay. That said, we'll see you next week. I think Lynn will be off in the wilds of... And no, actually, we won't see you next week.
Lisa Loving. Lisa Loving will be with you.
Next week.
Excellent.
We'll be back soon. Thanks so much for listening, and have a positively revolting week.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Willamette River Revival Sunday, August 2nd from noon to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in North Portland. The Willamette River Revival is a community-based river festival to celebrate and reconnect with the lower Willamette River and its cleanup. The Grand Ronde Tribe will host a salmon bake. There will also be tabling by environmental groups, Native American craft,